How's everybody doing this morning? Good. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Let's stand and let's give him praise for what he's done.
Thank you.
Praise this morning. It's important to give God praise for what He's done. Even me standing here right now, I can say the words that Jesus died on the cross. Of that statement, I cannot fathom. From the very beginning, God promised to send His Son to die for our sins. Not just for the heck of it, but because He loves us, so that we can be His children once again and draw near to Him. He saved us. He rescued us from where we were. And made us new through His Son. And if that is not praiseworthy, I don't know what is. So let's sing this song together, The God That Saves.
I hear the song. saves. You're the one that rescues me, and you rescue me.
children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children. Children and their children, may his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and their children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you.
This morning we are so thankful for your promise. Lord, we're thankful that we can be called children of God. Lord, we are thankful that you came and you saved us from our sin. Lord, we are so thankful for the blessings that we have every morning, waking up new to your grace, your mercy, your love. That we say amen and amen. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat.
Anybody else got goosebumps after that worship? Woo. Just get this turn around. Guys, let's celebrate the God worthy of that worship this morning. Can you celebrate with him? Woo. Warm welcome to you all. Thank you for joining us this morning. To our live stream family, thanks for joining us also. Those of you who don't know me, I'm Josh, Director of Discipleship and Guest Services here. We are so blessed to be able to gather together in the house of the Lord this morning. Jump right into it because we are so excited for what's happening next weekend. It is one of my personal favorite Sundays of the year. Baptism Sunday is next week. We cannot wait to celebrate for what that means. Let me just say this right now. If you come here next Sunday, you're going to be alone. We will not be here. If you try the Orange Campus, nobody's going to be there either. We are at Feather Lake next Sunday for the baptisms. If you need the address from our website, you can go to the Connect tab at the top, drop down, find events, and the address is there. We're going to be joining at Feather Lake next Sunday. You don't need to save your seat. You need to bring your seat. It's outdoor. So bring your seat next week. No need to register. No need to sign up. Don't save the seat. Just bring a seat with you for next Sunday. We're excited. We're going to worship with our brothers and sisters from the Orange Campus, our brothers and sisters from His Village Church. We're all going to be gathering together for the time of worship, testimonies, message, praise, and then celebrate that step of faith for baptism for those that are taking that step next week. And I'll say again, it's not too late. If you're interested in baptism, please go to our events page. You can sign up there for that. We're looking forward to that. It is a pandemic picnic. If you've not heard that phrase yet, what that means is we're going to have lunch and picnic together, but you're bringing your lunch. So if you want to join us for the picnic, bring whatever you'd like to enjoy as a family. We're going to celebrate and eat together next Sunday. Looking forward to that. That is 10 o'clock at Feather Lake. If you're a guest with us this morning, a special warm welcome to you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for trusting us with your Sunday morning. There's a Connect card at each of the doors as you leave, a green card. Take a moment to fill that out. Let us know you're here. You'll also find a wood grain prayer card there. If there's a prayer request that we can join with you, we can pray with you this week, please take a moment, fill that out online. There's a link there. You can enter those prayer requests also. And there are our offering envelopes as you worship God through tithes and offerings. That is an option there. The box at each door is where all those cards and envelopes can go. Now I want to share a story with you, a short story about how all that kind of comes together beautifully. As many of you know, preschool ministries, or preschool for the kids, launched a few weeks ago. Many of you parents celebrated when that launched, enjoyed that opportunity for the young ones to have their own space. And we were really excited for and looking forward to it, but anytime you kind of re-engage, you know there's always going to be a few things to work through. So in the preschool classroom, teachers excited. They had a great curriculum, a DVD lined up for the kids, and they go to play the DVD, and nothing. Try again. Nothing on the DVD player. Teachers get a little nervous. Kids are getting a little antsy. And so the teacher's, maybe we should pray for this. Who wants to pray? It's a little preschooler, a little 3-4-year-old. I'll pray. I got this. Drops to his knees right there. Dear God, please help this DVD work. Help it play. Amen. You want to guess what worked? Put the DVD in, try again, played. To this day, it's still playing 3-4 weeks later. That DVD player still working, so that's a powerful little prayer from a little preschooler. But we celebrate the power of prayer, so if you've got a prayer request, let us know. And with your tithes and offerings for DVDs and curriculums and technology, even when it doesn't work, God still uses it. So thank you all for giving, helping to make all this possible as we grow the faith in our young people. Now, Scott's getting ready to bring us a phenomenal word this morning, phenomenal message. Before he does that, I want to take a moment for some focused prayer. Because we all have a role in this world. We all have jobs. Sometimes we go to a job. We work for someone. Some of you are employers. You have people that are working for you in your own business. Some of you are teachers, and that's about to get really interesting tomorrow. Students, your job is school. And you're going back to work tomorrow for many of you. And some parents, you are raising the next generation of families and you are running a household and you are bringing up children in the word of the Lord, and that is a crucial job. So whatever your workplace looks like, whatever your role is in that, I want to take some moment for just some quiet prayer for yourself silently and pray that God would help you to be a witness in that workplace. Take those moments and pray. Father, in all the busyness and the hustle and bustle of work lives, preparation for school, or just home life, God, everything's rush, rush, rush. And so, Father, I thank you right now for this quiet time. God, I thank you for slowing our hearts and minds listen for your voice. Lord, as prayers have been lifted up this morning, God, I pray you hear and move on those according to your will, as you know is best. Lord, every one of us has a role to play in life. This world keeps spinning, we've got a part. God, thank you for trusting us with that. And Lord, I pray you give us the courage and the wisdom through your Spirit to witness well, to be a witness of your love, your grace, your mercy, your wisdom, your care for this world. We're a part of that, and thank you for trusting us with that, Lord. Help us to do it well. God, as Scott comes to bring the message, Lord, I pray you that his words may be your words, Lord. May your Spirit speak through him. Prepare our hearts, Father. May they be open to what you have to say to us this morning. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Mountain View, and good morning to those watching from the Orange campus, those of you watching online. If you don't know me, I'm Scott Strand, one of the elders here at Mountain View, and it's good to be back up here again this summer and continue this series we started in Ephesians called From Death to Life. I mean, this summer, the journey through Ephesians has been powerful. The Apostle Paul took the first three chapters and talked about the many spiritual blessings we have in Christ. Now, in the last three chapters, he's talking about how to live with those blessings so others see Christ in us, how to live it out loud, so to speak. The last few weeks, we've talked a lot about relationships, and we'll continue that today as we talk about children, parents, workers, and bosses. And what we'll see is no matter where we are in life, we can show Jesus to those around us by how we live our life and by submitting to one another. Our lives should reflect Jesus all the time, not just when it's convenient. So I'd like to start out today with a question. What do you remember about your childhood? And why is it that a lot of us, when we look back to our childhood, the memories that jump out the most is the relationships we have with our parents? And usually, it's the times we got in trouble. Even though we have all kinds of memories, both good and bad, the times we got in trouble, made a mistake, and were punished by our parents is what seems to jump out. I can remember when I was only 4 or 5, I got into so much trouble, I had my mouth washed out with soap. I can still remember the smell and the taste of the soap as my mom's hand was going back and forth over my tongue. I even know what brand of soap it was. It was Zest. Years later, I'm using Zest, and I remembered the smell. No one's going to taste it, but I remembered the smell, and it had a clean, fresh scent. And when I got older, I asked my parents what happened that day, and apparently they told me I was going to the dentist, and I replied, no, I was not going to the dentist. I guess I picked the wrong day to say no to my mom. And that led to the mouthwashing. And the funny thing was, after she did that, I didn't need to go to the dentist. My mouth and teeth were clean. I learned that day is, I guess you're not fully clean until you're zestfully clean. I'm glad that years later I can joke about it, but it's a memory I have, and that raises the question. If you're somebody that has children, you've been able to have children, or somebody that wants to have children in the future, what memories are they going to have when they grow up? Will they remember getting in trouble like I do, or will they remember being taught obedience and how to respect those in authority? Paul talks about children obeying their parents at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 6, and I'll begin by reading the first three verses. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may live long in the land. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, to which every parent in the audience says, yes, you know, I agree with that statement. Paul says something very similar in Colossians 3:20. He says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I think that's amazing, that the God that created the entire universe can be pleased by children obeying the Lord. That is amazing. Paul is sharing a bit of wisdom for both parents and children. Children are to submit to their parents, by being obedient to them in the Lord. But this also speaks to parents about teaching your kids to obey. They have to be taught. You know, when it comes to learning, I work as a network engineer at a company here in Culpeper, and a lot of times when it comes to learning new hardware and new software, we have this figure it out on your own philosophy. I call it a fly the airplane mentality. You know, just get in the cockpit, push a few buttons, pull back on the pilot stick, you'll get in the air, and you'll figure out the rest from there. I do not think that is a good way to learn. I think that plane most likely is going to crash. I believe that before a pilot can fly a plane, he must be trained. And it's the same with our children. We have to teach them to be obedient and discipline them when they're not obedient. Notice that we don't seem to have to teach our kids to disobey. That seems to be a natural tendency. This part of Ephesians goes hand in hand with what Josh taught last week, that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. This will reflect Christ back to their wives. And wives are to respect their husbands. This will reflect Christ back to their husbands. If the husband's not loving the wife and the wife's not respecting the husband, we really can't expect the children to obey their parents. My wife, Carolyn, worked as a teacher for a number of years. And she observed that children are in very difficult situations, both at home and at school. But what goes hand in hand with that is a lot of uninvolved parents. I can think of a few reasons why children do not obey their parents and the Lord. The first one is that parents don't require it. Parents are tired, exhausted, and don't want to argue with their children. But it's important. Proverbs 19:18 says, "Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death." We did a message series last summer called Parenting Through the Proverbs. And one of the things that Pastor Mark taught was, if you can control it, parent it. If you cannot control it, pray it. We have to teach and discipline our children, especially when there's willful disobedience. I mean, happy is a child whose parents teach them godly character and instill respect and obedience. Another reason why children don't obey their parents in the Lord is they're not eating. Oh, they're eating physical food. They're eating hot dogs, pizza, and chicken. But they're not eating spiritual food. Children must be fed a daily diet of the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And in Job 23:12, it says, "I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." If children don't get a daily diet of the Word of God, they're going to adjust their eyesight and their insight on the things of this world. They're going to focus on and chase after things that either have no impact or, even worse, have a negative impact. As I was preparing for this message, I read a book called 10 Peas in a Pod. It's a story of the Arnold Pent family. In the 1950s, Arnold Pent and his wife took their 8 children on a million-mile journey across the United States and Canada, sharing the gospel in churches, schools, and wherever they had the opportunity. They took an unconventional path to what many have considered to be the very first modern-day homeschool family. Now, note I'm not advocating for any particular type of schooling, as all parents must decide what's best for their children. Although, with the COVID virus, it seems like we all have to become experts at teaching and learning from the home. But I'm not advocating for any particular schooling. What I am advocating for, though, is the Pent family's daily discipline of personal Bible study, family prayer time, and scripture memorization. Just as an example, one time they were traveling in their van and decided to have a family devotional time. But all their Bibles were packed away in suitcases. So they decided that each of their 8 children would recite one chapter from the book of Romans from memory. And they all did it, from the oldest all the way down to the youngest. I mean, this family put Jesus first, and their daily discipline is a testimony of what can happen if we put Jesus first in our families. They, like us, were not just raising children. They were making disciples. And I'm very thankful for Pastor Nate, his work with the youth here. I'm thankful for Tara and Culpeper and Teresa at the Orange Campus for leading the children's ministry. I'm also very thankful for all the many ministry partners that give of their time and gifts every Sunday to help our children grow in their faith. But as we all know, that's 1 or 2 hours a week. The rest of the time, children are with their parents who are to be teaching them to be obedient. Children are a gift from God, and parents are stewards of their children and we're preparing them for life. But as Christians, we're also preparing them for eternity. Is there a greater calling in our lives than that? Paul continues talking about the child-parent relationship in verses 2 and 3. He says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy 5:16, which was in the Old Testament. It was part of the Mosaic covenant, the Moses covenant. In the Old Testament, God had this covenant with the nation of Israel that involved the land. It was a physical covenant. God would bless their land, their livestock, and their crops. But as Christians today, we're not under the Mosaic covenant. Jesus said at the Last Supper, we're under a new covenant, and it's more of a spiritual covenant. We go all the way back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So, why did Paul mention this if we're not under the Mosaic covenant and it doesn't really apply to us? Because it was important to God, so important that he gave this commandment in Deuteronomy with a promise connected to it. Children obeying their parents in the Lord is foundational to society. It's also for their own good to obey the rules, like when we tell them to look both ways before you cross the street. Children must learn to obey their parents and obey those in authority. Without this, society becomes more chaotic, and we're kind of seeing that today. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul is talking about the last days. And he says this, but understand this. In the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. So disobedience to parents is a marker of the last days, a sign of moral and cultural decay. But those of you that are listening today have a chance to be different, to raise your children, to be obedient to their parents in the Lord, and thus bring glory to God. When Paul writes to honor your father and mother, what he's saying to children, and we can hear this as adults as well, is we don't merely obey. We honor and value those in authority in our lives. Honoring your father and mother could also mean taking care of them when they're older and have physical and financial needs. If we do this, if we honor those placed in authority in our lives, we can reflect Jesus back to the people around us. But notice the balance that Paul brings in verse 4. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You know, as fathers, we don't intend to provoke our children to anger. Our discipline and instruction is always often thought to be for the child's own good. However, well-meaning overprotection is a common cause of resentment in children, especially when they get older. Children need careful guidance and certain restrictions, but they're individual human beings and must learn to make decisions on their own depending on their age and maturity level. So yes, children, obey your parents in the Lord, but parents, don't make it difficult for them. Paul speaks directly to fathers in verse 4 because it's not just up to the moms to do the training and disciplining. As fathers, we're called to serve, to build up, to protect our families. We're called to be the spiritual leader in the homes. And as Josh mentioned last week, as head of the household, it starts with you. I think we'd all agree that an abusive father is damaging to a home, but an absent or passive father, one that's checked out, is also damaging to home. Here's a few statistics about absentee fathers, and they are sobering. But according to the U.S. Census Bureau, now more than one in four children now live without a father in the home. And from the U.S. Department of Justice, and look at these statistics. I'm going to let those soak in. I'm not going to read every one of them. But I just want to take this time. I kind of added this late, a couple days ago, because I wanted to speak directly to single parents that may be watching. If you're a single parent and you see these statistics, they can be despairing, but I have a message for you. Don't give up. Don't despair. You're not alone. It's what a church family does. We come alongside each other and help each other. That's what a church family does. I already mentioned the kids ministry, the youth ministry, but for single parents, there's more. There's life groups. There's a men's group. There's a prayer ministry. And just this morning, about 3 hours ago, I was reading the Bible. I opened up to Mark chapter 6, where he talks about sending out the 12 And he sent them out in pairs of two. And I thought, well, you know, if he sent them out individually, they could have covered a lot more ground. But as pairs of two, they were able to encourage one another throughout the ups and downs. And that's what a church can do for single parents. We can be there with you to encourage you through your journey. But when I look at those statistics, you know, my head, it just spins. And I think to myself, fathers and father figures, your presence in the home is critical. Your calling to lead, feed, and protect your family is very important. Now, I have to admit, standing up here talking about being a good father is a little awkward, knowing that I was not the best father in the world. I had to learn it on the fly. Now, I am the best grandfather in the world. And let me tell you, being a grandfather is a sweet gig, with another one on the way in early January. But I was not the best father in the world. And I know our kids turned out great. We love them. We enjoy spending time with them. We've seen God work in their lives in different ways. They're different people, and that's okay. But I just wish, when I was 30, somebody had come to me and said, "Hey, Scott, come here. Come here. I want to talk to you for a second. That career building thing you're doing is good, but that is only part of the picture. And that little prayer time / devotional time that you're doing most nights with your kids, that's also good. But that is only 10 minutes of the day. The rest of the time, you're showing them the world. You need to model Jesus every minute of every day, even when the car breaks down or the well pump breaks and you don't have the money to fix it. You need to model Jesus in all your actions and all your decisions." I just wish somebody had told me that, or even better, had modeled that for me. Let me try to paint a picture of what modeling Jesus to your kids looks like, and we don't have to complicate this. The first quality is you want to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second quality is to love your family, love your wife, love your kids. But more importantly, let them see you doing that. Let them see you loving God. Let them see you loving your family. You have to model that for them. Fathers, there's still time to invest in your children. Paul says in verse 4 to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. He doesn't say let social media and TV train your kids. What happens here on Sunday morning with the kids and Sunday evening with the youth can definitely supplement what you're teaching them in the home. But teaching kids to be obedient and making disciples happens primarily in the home. Having children can feel like a lot of work, but when they're older, we want them to know that in Christ, your present has a purpose and your future is secure. Well, Paul then turns his attention to bond servants and masters, which we would define as workers and bosses. And what we'll find is that whatever worldly position, wherever we are in life, our actions can reflect Christ back to those around us. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, verses 5-8, "Bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this you will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free." Now, some translations have bondservant and some have slave. But a bondservant wasn't a slave in the traditional sense that we would all think about that. A bondservant was someone who went to work for his master and a lot of times did so willingly. This was done for a few reasons. One reason was he saw a master that he liked, and he wanted to commit to that person. So they would take him in, they would pierce his ear to show that he's committed his life and loyalty to that person. But another reason was you had a debt, and you couldn't pay off the debt. So you became a bondservant to pay off the debt. Now, a bondservant would live in his master's house. He would eat at his table. But let's be honest, being a bondservant / slave in the Roman Empire could also be brutal if you had a bad master. If they wanted to mistreat you, you had no legal grounds to fight that. Now, Jesus, he can identify with people that were bond servants or slaves. He knew all about unfairness and abusive treatment. He came into the world as a child in a world where children had no rights. He came into the Roman Empire that gave Roman citizens all the rights, but Jewish citizens had very little rights. But it was into that world that he came to act as a servant, to administer love, healing, and salvation. Jesus did not come to change governments or to change laws, although those are important. Those are not the root cause of human problems. So please hear me on this. The root cause of human problems is the heart. And Jesus did come to change people's hearts. We should remember that as a church, we have a very important role in America. We have to show God's heart to the people around us. Paul is saying that you and I can show our hearts in whatever earthly job that we have. You know, a lot of people, they kind of separate their job and their faith. But when Paul writes, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ," he's saying we can be shining the light of Christ in all that we do. So that at our job, when we serve sincerely, our devotion to Jesus is evident in the smallest and greatest tasks that we perform. This applies to us in the workplace. And when Paul says in verses 6 and 7, "Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God," and yes, I lost my place. "Doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man." He means, don't just start working when the boss shows up. You know, the boss comes in and everybody's like, "Okay, it's time to get to work." And then as soon as the boss leaves, everybody's like, "Phew, I need a little me time right now." Paul says not to do it that way, that we're all serving Christ and your heavenly Father is always watching. He's encouraging us to go from people pleasers to Savior serving. Which are you doing the majority of your day? Whatever our job is, we're to do it unto the Lord. It may look like you're working for Target or the law firm or running your own business, but we're to do it unto the Lord. If Jesus did your performance evaluation, what would he say? It's our attitude, our heart that counts. You say, "Well, Scott, what's the incentive to all that?" Verse 8, "Knowing that whatever good anyone does, this will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free." So no matter how difficult your earthly bosses may be, God sees our good works. And you know who else is watching? The world. And where might the world be watching us? At work? The question is, what are we showing them? How can we as a church change the world around us? How can husbands and wives change the heart of their spouses? How can children change the heart of their parents? How can workers change the heart of their bosses? In all we do it unto the Lord. By serving one another, we can reflect Jesus back to those around us. So I'm going to hand over to Pastor Jeff at the Orange campus as we both finish this message by looking at verse 9. And those of you who are watching live stream will stay here with us. But Paul addresses bosses in verse 9, and he tells them to be guided by the same principles, to be fair, honest, and kind. Paul writes, "Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." There's no partiality. Paul writes to stop threatening them, which is a warning to bosses to not let it go to your head and become a bully. Bosses are expected to reflect Christ and to serve those around them. Now, if you're somebody that has people working for you, this may surprise you. But Jim Collins wrote a book called From Good to Great. And it's a book about companies that transition from being good companies to great companies. And he found out the number one quality of successful CEOs. And the number one quality of successful CEOs was not education, experience, a charismatic leader, or a dynamic speaker. The number one quality of successful CEOs, humility. Humility was the number one quality of successful CEOs. When Paul writes to treat your workers in the same way, it's to be humble and to serve them. What we're seeing in these verses is the Spirit-filled life is one that you take with you everywhere you go. If you were here last week, this next sentence is going to sound very familiar. It's a picture of mutual submission where we're not seeking our own gain. We're just seeking to please Jesus Christ, to serve God by serving others. Everyone, no matter who you are in life, children, parents, workers, bosses, everyone can bring glory to God in your everyday life by submitting to Jesus and serving one another. That's how we can change the world around us and change the hearts of our spouses, bosses, and parents. As we leave this place today, let's remember in God's economy, there's only one master, and that's Jesus Christ. And we give our lives in service to him. The last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about relationships. And God values all relationships. But because he values them, our enemy, the devil, will seek to attack them. But God didn't leave us defenseless against these attacks. And then next time, we continue this series in Ephesians. We're going to talk about putting on the full armor of God. So you don't want to miss the next time when we continue this series. However, next week is special to us. As I mentioned in, I think Josh mentioned in the announcements, it's Baptism Sunday. It's all outside. It's all at Feather Lake. We'll have baptism testimonies, a pandemic picnic, going to partner up with His Village Church. It's going to be exciting. We hope to see you there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone that is here today, everyone watching from home. I thank you for our homes, our jobs, our work, our witness. Lord, the last few weeks we've talked about relationships, and these are heavy topics, marriages, parenting, children, workers. Thank you that you didn't leave us to wonder how to do these relationships. You've given us your Spirit and your Word, but thank you that you've also given us each other. Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church to reach out to one another, to support one another, to reflect the love of God and the faithfulness of God to those around us. Lord, help us by the power of your Spirit to reflect Jesus back to those around us in all that we do. For the glory is yours, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, Mountain View. Have a great week.